It's the middle of the night, but it's still the Newsboy and Me. Oh, the music came in too soon. I got this. I got this little setup here for my in my hotel. I'm in a hotel room doing the. For some reason, the music doesn't last as long. I got this little setup here now, so I'm operating off of my laptop. In my studio, I have a mixer, and I have all kinds of gizmos, buttons to push. Nothing happens without my complete control. I have kind of things automated in this little particular gizmo with background music and whatnot. So like right now, the bumper music is set to come in at about 35 minutes. This show will be 35 minutes long, and then the bumper music kicks in and drives me away. It tells me what to do, so I have no control over that. I do. I could keep on talking, but I won't. I'm gonna try to keep it at 30 minutes. It's current time right now is 10:36 Eastern Standard Time in Atlanta, Georgia, and it is it's currently March 3rd, Wednesday night. 10:36 p.m. But so I'm doing this. This is going to be posted in the morning. I'm sorry for the pops on this microphone. I'll try to fix that. I'll try to do this. Probably won't sound as good, but you know, you want to get that rich tone of my voice in a world. It's the thing about it is, I've got this morning time thing I need to do. So I may do tomorrow afternoon's show in the morning once I've had a chance to catch up on the news in the morning. Right now I'm going to give you tonight's news, but the show will be posted in the morning. So those of you who are driving to work on Thursday morning will be able to hear the news according to me, even you early risers. Except for you West Coast people who sleep in until noon, because you're 3 hours behind me, you'll get it. You'll get it. You'll be able to listen to it early in the morning. But there's some interesting stuff going on. Like I said last night, there's just a lot of little things hopping and popping. It's like that pot that's boiling. That's, you know, got a lot of little bubbles in there. Just a matter of time before it gets to a full boil. Foible. Governor Cuomo in New York. Let's just go down the list here of things that are in my head. Governor Cuomo in New York has really dug in. He has really made a point out of saying that basically he's not going anywhere. He's not going to resign. He says he was elected by the people, not by politicians, and he's not going to go anywhere. And, you know, I respect that. However, I think the people are going to speak at the next election if he hangs on that long. He's got a lot of turning around to do. There's some people. He's not winning hearts and minds by doing what he's doing and all the stuff that's coming out about what has happened. He has done some apologizing about some things. However, I think that there's coming a day of reckoning for a lot of these politicians who have continued to do this kind of stuff. And the more I talk to people out here in the world, in the country, I am more encouraged than ever, because there are more people upset and mad and frustrated by the political world. And I'm talking about people on the left and the right. They are not happy. The people on the left who are tired of, and some of them are tired for reasons that I wouldn't, or they're mad about things that I wouldn't, I'm actually on the other side of it. They say they're not doing enough. I say they're doing too much. But either way, nobody's happy with them. They're not, which they think, oh, well, then I must be balanced. I'm right in the center. It's not about being in the center. It's about being right. It's about educating yourself to have the right policy, the right ideology to, you know, if you want to change this country, this is what gets me. We want to be more like Europe. No, why don't you just move to Europe? Why don't you move there and run for office and be a politician there? Because, you see, this country was founded on certain things. And I think with regard to, you know, maintaining that and defending that, this oath that you took to swear up to uphold and defend that, and it has to do with individual liberty. And yes, that means you have the right to succeed in everything that you do. You have the right to try. You have the right to, the equal right to give it your all and do the best you can. You also have the right to do all those things and to end up failing. That's your right. That's the risk we take when we have liberty. With liberty comes great responsibility. And with great responsibility, that responsibility is to see to it that you do everything in your power, everything you can, to stave off or have an out to prepare yourself for the potential issues that could arise in taking a risk and stepping out and trying to be trying to succeed. That is the beauty of our republic. However, and it's that kind of effort, it's that kind of struggle, it's that kind of fight to succeed, to thrive, to produce, to excel, that makes us who we are as a nation. There's something about the struggle that strengthens us, develops our character. I've heard it said once, I don't know if this is true or not. It's probably not true. It's probably somebody that just came up with some kind of crazy idea. I've heard it said that if a chick is in an egg, I'm talking about a chicken, or even a duck, any kind of anything that comes from an egg, like a bird, a bird egg. If you take away that bird's struggle to get out of that egg, they peck their way out of the egg. If you take that away from them, if you open up the egg for them, my understanding is that bird will not survive. It has to have that initial awakening of tenacity to get out of that egg, or else it will not move forward and develop and grow properly. None of us like adversity. None of us like struggling to make something. We all, we want to sit around and get a check in the mail, and we just want to have all the money. But you really don't have the character to manage that kind of a lifestyle without some kind of self-discipline. And that self-discipline usually comes through an understanding that self-discipline pays off. It eventually leads to achieving something. And the act of achieving it develops character to achieve the next thing. I was involved in martial arts as a young man. Worked my way up, all the way up the chain of all the belts. We like to say it was this was back in the day when martial arts were actually martial arts. Now it's a, I don't know. I've seen some of the martial arts classes now that some of these chains put out, and I would say it's daycare. It is. It's a joke, in my opinion. Now, the time I went through it, all the training was in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s. Into the 80s, actually, into the 90s even. I kind of made a comeback in the late 90s. Actually, no, I can't remember when it was. No, it was actually 2000, yeah, it was 2010, something like that, maybe. I came back to competition. I was an AAU coach and actually got some forms competition. I got a gold medal in the state AAUs myself, as well as some had students that weren't my students. I was helping out with a club, local club, but I was a coach for them for the AAU training. And I enjoyed it a lot. But the thing, and this club was still pretty good about teaching character and discipline and the seriousness of learning what you're learning. The interesting thing about it was back in the day when I was doing it, and I'm sure it was even tougher in earlier years. There's generations ahead of me that they went through a lot more than what I did. But it was serious. We took it seriously. And there was something that was instilled in us in terms of character and the raw ability to achieve. And here's the thing. This was the whole point of it. You go through your white belt training, you become a yellow belt. And then you worked hard at the next step and you learned more things and you started to add to your arsenal of knowledge and understanding of what you were doing. And your skill level improved, your power improved. And then you developed another GUP in the which was Taekwondo. And you had a second division of yellow belt. You got stripes on your belt. And then you went to green belt with just a red stripe. Red stripe meant you could spar. You were checked out to spar. You could control. You could throw, full power punches, kicks with control. So you could spar. And then once you had these stripes on your belt, and as a green belt, you'd also got other stripes on your belt. And so that moved you up another rank. And then you went to blue belt. And then you got stripes on your blue belt. And then it was brown belt, and then stripes on your brown belt. Now there's a red belt. I think there's a apprentice black belt or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Our association still doesn't have that. We just go straight from brown belt to the next step in the brown belt, different GUP, and then you go into the black belt review board, and then you do your black belt testing, which is the black belt review board is the toughest thing initially when you're going into the black belt rank. Black belt review board is usually done in secret. It's not usually done for the public. You have a whole bunch of other black belts there, and they basically, it's a shark tank. They pick on you, ask you questions, try to drive you. It's like boot camp. A day of boot camp, probably. It's something like that. It's more of an initiation. It's kind of a it's tough. It's a tough situation. Let's just say it's not for the mentally weak. But by the time you've gone through all those stages, you've developed character for that, and they know that. You have the tenacity. You have the more, you know, the fortitude, the heart to get through it. You have the drive, the discipline, the, you know, the self-drive. Now, there's a difference. And this brings up a good point. This is probably a good subject for this morning, it's actually tonight, but it's going to be for this morning. And I just want to leave you with this. You know, everybody talks about the self-discipline of the martial arts or the self-discipline of certain things. There's a vast difference between being disciplined externally, living out the discipline of someone else disciplining you or pushing you. And this happens in a gym situation. Maybe some of you have a personal trainer in a gym. It's a big difference between having that other person push you beyond what you think you can do or beyond what you would do, and you yourself being able to push yourself to that next level, or to have the discipline within yourself to train or to extend your abilities. The one thing I learned a lot about in martial arts was that, you know, going up through all the training, I felt like I had self-discipline. Well, no, I didn't. I had someone else disciplining me. I had enough self-discipline to go to class. After that, somebody was telling me what to do. I was learning discipline. But it was the discipline of, you know, if you got out of line, if you did something wrong, if you didn't do something correctly, you do push-ups on your knuckles. On your knuckles, 20 push-ups. Didn't answer the question correctly, 20 push-ups. And you learned it. You didn't do the 20 push-ups again because you remembered the answer to that question. So it's very critical to have the ability within you to discipline yourself. It's vastly different when nobody else is watching, when nobody else is looking. Do you have the ability or the tenacity to push yourself beyond yourself? That's a huge difference in character. Because if you stop going to training, if you stop going to class, will you keep training? Will you keep pushing yourself? Will you keep learning? And usually it's not. That's not the case, usually. Usually that's a big no. So so you got that. That's a little takeaway for you tonight. Tonight morning, whatever time it is for you. Wherever you are, what time it is, whatever it is. There you go. If you're in sports and you have that personal trainer there pushing you past that last rep, and they say, just one more rep. Oh, you can do one more. Yeah, just one more. They end up making you do 10 more, and they were only asking for one. But they only asked for one 10 times. But the next thing you know, you've done an extra set that you wouldn't have done on your own. So I leave you with that. I'm not going to leave you, but I'll leave you with that. I'll leave that with you. How's that? That sounds better. Yeah. So Cuomo is digging in on this whole thing, not letting up. Which, you know, I got to have some respect for that. But at the same time, Mr. Cuomo, you're a thug. You are not, you're a scary individual, actually. This is nothing. I've even heard some reporters say that on left-wing media, he's a very connected man politically. He can make or break your career. Well, I don't think that's going to be the case moving forward. However, there are people who he is connected to that probably will always support him and make it very difficult for you to live in a world outside of his little kingdom. The accusations, the march against him now has become quite considerable. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the whole Dr. Seuss thing, the whole cancel culture thing. Now, I'm not exactly sure I understand exactly what's going on with this Dr. Seuss thing. My understanding is that the company itself has canceled some of its own books. And in the process of doing that, somehow there's like this huge number of books, like the top 20 books being sold right now, I think on Amazon, are just Dr. Seuss books. I think it's the ones they're canceling or the ones they're going to cancel or something. I don't know. But somehow it has made some ridiculous. So I'm not sure exactly why. My understanding is that these people are buying Dr. Seuss books to protest the issue. But in the process, they are actually making the Dr. Seuss franchise much more money by buying all these books. So I don't know exactly what's going on there. I'm confused. Somebody wants to call me and explain it to me. That'd be great. But otherwise, I'll just have to find out on my own, because that's the way I roll. I'll figure it out, and I'll let you know. Because I got nobody else to talk to besides you. But cancel culture in general is just, I think it's time that cancel culture gets canceled. I think I mentioned that earlier, but it's, and here's where we're running headlong. And it's, the problem is, everybody wants government to protect them. Government's not protecting this in this situation. And it's, I think one of the major issues, problems, if you will, that we're running into here is that big government or big business and big tech is exempt. The more they take over the marketplace, the less freedom we have within the marketplace. You stop and think of how many books Amazon sells. What other platform do you think? When you think of buying a book online, you think of Kindle or Amazon, which is the same thing. And if they have the lion's share of the market, and they now can decide what books will be allowed to sell and what books won't be. And my understanding is they've banned a whole bunch of books recently because of hate speech. What is hate speech? Define that for me, please. And explain to me exactly who made you the one who decides what hate speech is. And it's that we've gotten to this point where just like Facebook putting you in a timeout. They put me in a timeout for like 12 hours or 24 hours, whatever it was. I don't know what it was for tagging someone. I don't remember ever tagging anyone in the last year. And I get this notice that I can't tag anyone for 24 hours. Oh, okay, whatever. I don't know what happened there. But somehow I got tagged, for tagging somebody. And, or for whatever, I don't know, it's just weird. And, so with that happening, it's kind of like they are now you talk about Big Brother. This is like Big Brother, Big Parent, whatever you want to call them, putting someone in timeout, putting someone in Facebook, they call it Facebook jail, because they'll post something that Facebook doesn't like. It is absolutely ridiculous. And the idea that it's a platform that they offer to you, in the public square, the argument that they have is they are a private entity. They are not a public entity, and they, but you know, this gets into an issue of the FCC, the ability to self-regulate, the ability to be a platform or to be a publisher. All these things start to come into play as to what exactly is this about in terms of how does freedom of speech relate to any of this? Just like, okay, for instance, this podcast, I have the right to say whatever I want. I have freedom of speech. I can say whatever I want in the public square. You have the right to lie. You have the right to, you can even actually say bad things about people. But you can also, you're also opening yourself up to libel or slander if those things aren't true. So there is a recourse that people have. Unfortunately, with our justice system, I don't know that there's that you're going to get any real true justice in recourse. But that's the whole, you know, that's the problem, the issue. The ability to go forward in free speech on a platform much like this one, if the place where I host this podcast decides that they don't like my podcast because it goes against something that they don't like, they have the right to dissolve it, to stop hosting it. Well, that's, they're a private entity. Okay, it's true, they're private. However, if you offer yourself out as a platform for people to post on, you become now a publisher. So you're responsible now for everything everybody posts. And I don't know where this is going to end. It's not going to end well. One of the people that heard talk about it recently said that, and he's an expert kind of on the whole European history thing with Lenin and the Bolsheviks, the whole thing. This guy was talking about it, and he had a really good argument, and went a direction I had not thought about. But this is very much Leninism. And the term I want to use is moral aristocracy, and I don't know that that's necessarily correct to put it that way, but it's, there is this holier-than-thou, self-righteous mentality that is creeping into the big tech world, and they have, see this, and this is where you know, they can say all day long that people who are religious zealots are problems. Well, they are. However, just because you're, you know, you might want to say that Christians are all one way, or that Jews are all a certain way, or that, well, you know, Muslims are all a certain way. There's really no name on this religion that these people believe. This is a religion to them. However, it's not really named, which is probably something I need to come up with a name for these people. They are the church of self-righteousness. I don't know what else to call it right now. I'll have to think about that. Because It's secular humanism. It's completely secular humanism. It's so absorbed by itself that it almost has taken on this spiritual side. And when you look into Buddhism, Taoism, some of the Tao's of Eastern religions, even Hinduism, that kind of thing, you will find more of a centering. It's more of a self centering with the universe kind of mentality. Not necessarily some of those, but there. But when you get into this idea of technocracy and the continued push to have some kind of moral standard that you're now going to, this bar that you're going to place for everyone else to cross, and that you're going to call yourself the curator or the arbitrator, the warden of this, it's actually a prison, of this religion, the high priest, if you will, of this higher morality, this evolved elitism. When you become that person, when you start to think that you're going to have some kind of moral code that is you're going to rule over others with. That happens in a lot of religions as well, by the way. It no longer is about the gospel. It's about the religious rules of the church, of that particular organization. I'm not even going to say the church, because that's not the church. You can call it a church, I guess, but it's not the church. It is an institution that has established itself as the arbiter of righteousness and decided the punishment of anyone who doesn't. It's very antithetical, whatever the word is. It's the antithesis of true religion. And if you know your scriptures well, you'll know what true religion is. So we have this cancel culture thing is a blooming, sprouting up, something that's outside of our government even. So our rights are being taken away from us by the big corporations that we have sold our souls to. And that's a scary thing. And somehow we need to find a way to protect our rights in the midst of this mayhem, because it cannot end well. This is the kind of thing that happened under regimes such as socialists in the past. This is where they go. It's always where they go. More control. More get with the program, or we're gonna, not gonna be with us. We're going to remove you from society, make it very difficult for you. Look at what China's doing right now. The CCP has been very clear about the way they are treating dissidents. You know, if somebody escapes from China, they will punish their families until they come back. This happens in Korea as well. This is North Korea, I'm sorry. This happens in North Korea big time. They learned it from the Chinese, from the CCP, same kind of mentality. Very crazy. This is typical socialist mentality or a communist mentality. Apparently Steve Bannon he's been pardoned by the president. However, there's a prosecutor who is still continuing to push the indictment. I don't understand that. If he was full pardoned, what they're saying is he still has consequences. There's still things they can come after. I'm not sure what that's about. Another big issue is the Georgia election. They are changing rules radically there, really for the best, in my opinion. Question is, why are they doing it now? They say they have to restore election integrity and competence in the elections. But that's another topic, maybe for later today. We'll talk about the whole Georgia election thing. I'm going to try to find out more about it myself. I hear my bumper music coming in again, and it's That means it's time to go to bed. So maybe tomorrow morning, if I get up early enough, I will definitely have another show. And we'll be talking more about this the Georgia election thing. So have a good day, everybody. God bless. Continue to pray for our nation. Have a good night. Here, going to sleep. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See ya.